Good morning and welcome to the Lodestar podcast news in brief, where we're going to be recapping the main events from last week's supply chain news and giving you some predictions on what you might see on the Lodestar this week. It's been quite a quiet one for logistics news. Always nice to have a week like that. You don't get it very often in logistics. But one quite interesting story that we reported last week was MSC's contingency plan to mitigate the impact of strikes at the port of Montreal. But this didn't exactly go to plan. What happened, Alex?
Yeah, hi, Charlotte. It's quite an odd story. I expect there's more to it, and we'll try and find out, obviously. But we were contacted by forwarders who had had a note from MSC saying that during the Montreal port strike, it was going to reroute its shipments to Halifax instead. So far, so good. MSC then told customers that they would have to collect their shipments from Halifax, which is more than 1,000 miles from the original destination, and that they would face additional costs. Now, the forwarders at this point were a bit up in arms about it. According to our sources, there were mass complaints, a lot of reading of the relevant clauses in various contracts, and threats of cancellations of business with MSC. Now, we don't actually know if any or all of these helped MSC change its mind, but change its mind it did. So in what actually could be called sort of best practice customer service, MSC appears to have U-turned and offered the use of one of its feeder vessels, which is currently anchored off Halifax, to move the cargo to Montreal. Of course, there will be an extra charge, as there always is. But what's odd is that some forwarders know about this service and some don't. But it's quite a big thing for MSC to do because of cabotage rules in Canada. It means that MSC is going to have to get government permission to use this feeder vessel. And the other slightly odd thing is that it's a great news story for MSC. It's helping out its customers. It's found a solution, but it won't confirm any of this to us. So who knows? Well, if any more comes up, we'll let you know.
So speaking of hopping across ports, Gav, you did a story for the Lodestar Premium last week about MSC and the Gemini Alliance playing a game of musical chairs across UK ports. Can you explain what's happened?
Yeah, so I wrote the analysis for Premium last week, but the news actually broke the Friday preceding that when there was a customer advisory from Maersk and Hapag-Lloyd, who will make up the Gemini Cooperation come February the 1st. And that customer advisory said that they were effectively going to consolidate all of the Gemini's UK calls on their Asia North Europe services. They would all be fed through London Gateway, which effectively meant that Maersk was departing Felixstowe, where it's been for a very long time and currently operates in conjunction with MSC under the 2M Alliance. I mean, obviously, Asia is a really big source of cargo for the UK. So it's obviously very important for the forwarders and importers which ports are being served by what carriers and so on. So what happens is effectively, I'm going to do a before and after. Before, as it is now, we have the 2M basically consolidated at Felixstowe, 3 2M services plus a standalone MSC service. The 2M also has one call at London Gateway. That's as it is at the moment. The Ocean Alliance has 2 calls at Felixstowe and 1 call in Southampton. That will remain absolutely unchanged. The Ocean Alliance, so any Ocean Alliance customers, nothing changes.
You can switch off.
You can just, oh yeah, exactly, just fast forward through this bit, unless you want a good old chuckle at your peers who happen to be customers of the other carriers. The Premier Alliance, which today is the Alliance, right, currently has 1 call at London Gateway and 2 calls at Southampton. That says it at the moment. Where we're going to be at the beginning of February is that the MSC will have 2 calls at Felixstowe, 2 calls at London Gateway and 2 calls at Southampton. At one of the London Gateway calls, the Lion service will be slot shared with the Premier Alliance carriers, and the 2 calls at Southampton will also be slot shared with the Premier Alliance carriers. And the Gemini Cooperation will have its three Asia North Europe services, the A1, A3 and the A5, will all go through London Gateway. So to conclude, the situation could be like this, is the MSC is going to have 2 Asia Europe services calling at each of the 3 main ports, Felixstowe, London Gateway and Southampton. Ocean Alliance is as it stands. Basically, the Premier Alliance is as it stands, except their containers will be coming on board MSC ships. So the real change is Gemini, which is suddenly going to have a whole load of Maersk and Hapag-Lloyd cargo coming through it. I think that's basically it.
So winners and losers in all of this?
Winners and losers. Well, clearly Felixstowe's, it's going from the current thing of 6 Asia Europe services, it's going to 4. It's clearly the loser. London Gateway is the clear winner, really. Southampton's also a winner because Southampton, although probably the cargo itself will remain relatively unchanged, it will be welcoming MSC to Southampton, which is the first for its Asia North Europe services.
Don't like to hear that as someone from Portsmouth.
No, you would. There is a stevedore down in Portsmouth. You should get in touch with them to support your local business. I'm sure they'd like that. Anyway, so just as a caveat to all of this, what we've been talking about is pro forma. This is all published schedules, right? The reality of shipping is different because, as you know, Charlotte, and you've reported on a lot in your first year with us, port congestion's a big thing. And when port congestion happens, ships have to go to other ports. Mm. And the UK is no different to that. And Felixstowe is no stranger to congestion itself. And the fact is, at the moment, Felixstowe is periodically hit by congestion. You know, its position on the east coast of the UK means that it gets subject to quite high winds at times, for example. And in those cases, ships are diverted from Felixstowe to London Gateway. It's the natural diversion point. You know, but yeah, pro forma, Felixstowe's loss, London Gateway's win.
We are now coming to the end of Q3 financial season, but we did have a few more results last week. We've got ocean carrier Zim and US retailers Target and Walmart. So Gav, could you give us an overview of these in whichever order you choose?
Yeah, okay, well, let's start with Zim. So Zim was the last of the carriers that disclosed their figures to publish. They smashed it. They did really, really well. Revenues shot up. I mean, you know, Zim's quite heavily exposed to spot rates on the Trans-Pacific. Mm. So they really benefited from that strong early peak season that we were writing about. Nearly $3 billion in revenue, an EBIT of $1.24 billion. Their margin for the quarter was 45%, which is really strong. But in addition, they carried just under 1 million TEU. It was 12% volume growth year on year, which is double the market growth of 6%. So they did really well. I think they're entering 2025 in really good shape. They've got these new ships coming on, which are almost all delivered. And if there's market downturn in 25, which is a persistent possibility with the structural overcapacity, Zim have something like 35 ships coming off charter over the course of next year. So they can, at a flash, without incurring any penalties or anything, they will be able to reduce their fleet capacity in light of the market decline. So they're looking really good. Walmart and Target was extraordinary because it really was a tale of two shippers. Obviously, that's a misquote from Tale of Two Cities by Charles Dickens, right? And A Tale of Two Cities was first published in two Midlands regional newspapers. It was the Bicester Times and the Worcester Times.
I'm going to edit that out. That is not making the final cut.
Oh, that's so cool. I love that joke. Anyway, Target. So it's A Tale of Two Shippers, the Bicester Times and the Worcester Times. So Walmart first, really good, really, really good results from Walmart. Beat analyst expectations, won market share, but really importantly, their inventory levels were spot on. And Targets weren't. Target missed the target. Yeah, they didn't live up to their name. And they actually blamed it on higher freight rates and the 3-day strike on the East Coast. Walmart faced exactly the same circumstances.
Excuses.
Yeah, exactly. So there's a very interesting article by Laurie Ann LaRocco at CNBC who had done a bit of delving into the actual shipment numbers. And it suggested that Target had basically shipped their stuff when the freight rates were highest.
Right.
So they missed the target. They hadn't played the game very well. Not a bullseye.
While we're on that kind of numerical flow,
yes.
What were the ocean freight rates?
I mean, another week unchanged. So that's now 3 weeks that they've basically been unchanged. They pushed up a bit during October as a result of these general rate increases, but then the ones due in from November really haven't stuck much. And particularly there's one on November the 15th, which hasn't had any impression on the market at all. This one was introduced on the 15th, and the Asia Europe and the Asia Med trades have remained basically unchanged, and Trans-Pacific's actually edging downwards slightly. We've talked in the past about the relationship between contract and spot rates. It's very important for the carriers for the remainder of this year to try and get the spot rates as high as possible, because most of the annual contracts on Asia Europe are set to be concluded in the first quarter next year, And they will take their cue from the spot rate levels. So we have another rate hike scheduled for the 1st of December. Very similar figure. I mean, MSC, CMA-CGM and Hapag-Lloyd have all published new FAK rate levels for that date. And they're all for the Asia Med, or the Asia West Med. They're aiming for $6,500 a 40 foot. For the Asia North Europe, Hapag's looking for $6,100 per 40 foot. These are due to come in like at the end of this week. And I don't think there's much chance of them actually sticking. If you look at it, according to the Drury World Container Index, the current Asia North Europe rate is $4,000. And to the Med, it's $4,500. So what carriers are looking for basically is a 50% growth in rates in the space of 1 week. Right. And recent history would suggest that that is a fantasy.
And while we're on the topic of rates, Alex, would you like to go over the air freight rates from last week? I think Neil van der Wilde spoke about this on Mike King's podcast, which was out last week, and it was a really good episode. So definitely go and listen to the main Lodestar podcast if you haven't already.
Yeah, I mean, this chimes with what we were hearing in Miami, and now Neil has sort of confirmed it as well, that Q4 was a lot less peaky in air freight than was expected. I mean, in Q3, it looked like rates were going to go crazy, that it was going to be chaos, it was going to be a fight for capacity. But that hasn't really happened. Rates haven't soared in the way that everyone expected, although they are, don't get me wrong, they are high. They're still 20 to 25% higher than they were last year. But some indexes have seen even a decline. World ACD said on Friday that the trade lane seeing the most spikes currently is westbound transatlantic. My first thought was front-loading, but it's not front-loading. It's brought about by lower capacity and winter schedules and reasonably high demand for the Atlantic. And the peak, which was expected, would have seen rates really soar out of Asia-Pacific. But they haven't really. There's been a bit of a rise to Europe from Asia-Pacific, but they've fallen to the US. Neil van der Waal thinks this is likely because airlines shifted capacity to Asia. That's something we started seeing at the end of the summer, beginning of autumn. And shippers have been much more careful with their Q4 capacity booking. However, January could be quite strong for the airlines because shippers are likely to need to use air freight whether there's a strike or not, because they're not going to know if there's going to be a strike or not until January the 15th. So they may well have to do a bit of pre-booking on that one first. But January's for January. That's all for now.
Thank you, Alex.
All right, thanks, Charlotte.
So now you are all caught up with the main events from last week's supply chain news. Here's what you might see on the Lodestar this week. I have an interview with DHL eCommerce UK tomorrow, and I'm really keen to talk to them about how e-commerce is changing the retail landscape of the UK and how carriers and forwarders are responding to this. I've also been looking at cargo crime, specifically the theft of entire trucks from warehouses by criminals using falsified documents to pose as a driver, and apparently this is on the rise. I've been speaking to the Transported Asset Protection Association, or TAPA as it's more commonly known, Logistics Insurance Group TT Club, and the American Trucking Association. I've been talking to them about what exactly is happening and how stakeholders can protect themselves and their cargo against this. So look out for the write-up of that. Freightos will be releasing its Q3 results this week, so we might have a report on that for you. Alex and Nain recently did an interview with Finnair Cargo, so you can expect to see the highlights of that. And we can't forget that we are still waiting for an agreement between the Canadian port workers that were striking this month and their employers. It's currently in the hands of the Canadian Industrial Relations Board, who stepped in at the request of the Labour Minister to end the strike at the various ports, including Montreal and Vancouver. So perhaps more to come on these negotiations, definitely one to keep an eye on. Thank you so much for joining me, and I'll see you next time.